Welcome to Phenomenal Woman. I'm your host, Janice Sutherland. Join me as we share the success strategies of phenomenal women achieving extraordinary success around the globe. From the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, this is Real Talk by Real Women. We share with you the highs and lows of their journey and give you honest insight on how you can navigate same with confidence, integrity, and gain a little inspiration. As a leadership strategist, executive coach, and business consultant, I have the pleasure of working with organizations and individuals, helping them to turn their goals into success. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. And can you believe that this is episode 40? That's 40 fantastic women that I've spoken to over the past year. That is absolutely phenomenal. And I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. So before I introduce my guest this week, I want to say a huge thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for the support you've given me over the past 8 months in producing this program. You have shared it, you have liked it, you have commented, and you have reviewed, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And as ever, I'm asking you to keep on doing that. If you want to know more about being a phenomenal woman or more practical strategies, feel free to visit my Facebook page, I am Janice Sutherland, or my website, janicesutherland.com, where I have just released my brand new ebook, 13 Strategies to Elevate Your Career. And this provides some really actionable tips that I used to become the first female CEO in an organization here in the Caribbean. So real actual tips as to how to elevate yourself at work, how to get noticed, and how to progress. So without further ado, let me introduce my guest this week, who is Tanya Smith. And Tanya is a board certified NLP master coach and trainer. And she's the CEO of Tanya Smith International. That's a personal professional development company that provides business, leadership training, mastermind programs, workshops and retreats for corporates, entrepreneurs and individuals internationally. I hope you enjoy this week's interview. Hi, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. And I am delighted to be joined by Tanya Smith. Now, Tanya and I met about a year ago at a networking event, wasn't it, Tanya?
Yeah, it was at a networking event.
And you know what it's like when you meet like-minded women, and you know, well, actually, she spotted it more in me first. She's had the potential in me first, but we really hit it off. So I'm delighted that she's joining us here today. So Tanya, tell us a little bit more about yourself and where you come from.
Sure. So hi, everyone. My name's Tanya Smith, as Janice mentioned. So a little bit about me. So I was born in Canada. I grew up in Antigua. So people always say, how come you have an accent? I'm like, I have an accent. I was actually raised in Antigua as a child. I would come every summer to visit with my grandparents. But my parents always said that they wanted us to have, you know, the experience of both cultures. So to grow up with a Canadian background, to be able to have the opportunities to see and do different things in Canada, but also not to lose our Caribbean roots. So spend time in Antigua with our grandparents, making sure that we know about our culture and where we come from. So that's kind of a little bit about me personally. I have and worked in the banking industry in Canada for 20 years. Wow. So I know, I'm like, everyone's like, when did you start? When you were six? So I worked in the banking industry for 20 years in various roles. So I started out as a financial advisor, helping my clients, you know, with their finances. Moving from there, decided that, you know, I really like people. So decided to do a university degree in human resources. And while I was doing that, decided that I really like training and development, coaching, and performance management. So really tied in all of the pieces that really make me who I am, right, and actually decided to move from, you know, a financial advisor frontline role to more of a people role. So managing people, designing training programs for the banks, also doing performance management and leadership management within the organization. So a lot of my background is mishmash because I moved from human resources, sales, technology. But one of the things that I always knew from a long time, even going into university, I never wanted to be pigeonholed into one thing. Yeah. I'm such a creative person that I love to do so many different things, but I also know my strengths and my weaknesses. So I like to do many different things, but focus on the things that I do really well. So that's what made me really successful working in the banking industry for 20 years, with understanding people, understanding how processes work, and really connecting and building those relationships, which helped me, you know, understand why people do things and how to better move their performance. So that's, you know, today with my business that I have now, which is a personal development company that we focus on leadership as well as entrepreneurship. I really can tell people, oh, you know what? This is going to work because I've done it before. And having that experience to actually do something and then help people to navigate through doing it in their business today really has helped me in my own business. So I decided to leave the banking industry about 2 years ago and start my own business on, as I said, personal development. And one of the things that one of the reasons why I wanted to leave corporate is that it got to the point where I kept, you know, this sense in me, this cup coming up saying, this is not what I'm here to do. This is not what I'm here to do. And I kept going, moving from job to job, thinking that the feeling would go away. Yeah. And that, you know, it's just this job. I'll find something else and, you know, it'll be better. I get into that new role, spend about a year and a half and I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm done with this. So it kept nagging at me for about 10 years. And then I decided to listen and say, you know what, Tanya, something has got to change. You got to actually build the courage to do what you know you need to do. Yes. And I think that's one of the most scariest things is like when you're working for a company where you know that you have your guaranteed income coming in week after week. Yep. How do you leave that?
Yes.
But the thing for me that became really, that I became really aware of is that what was the health aspects that being in a stressful job was causing me. You know, who was I being as a person, and how much time do I have? So at the time when I decided to do this, I, you know, had lost a couple of friends, lost a really, you know, close uncle that I was close with. And I think those experiences actually really awakened me even more into what am I doing here and why am I wasting this time?
Yeah.
And one of the things I'm going to be very honest, that was really, really fearful of is like, what is my family going to say? What are people going to say? You're leaving a job with a pension for life and you're wanting to do something on your own. And I, you know, I had to really say to myself and really build the confidence to say, if I can do this for someone else, why can't I do this for myself?
Very much.
And it really takes a lot of soul searching, you know, reflecting on life to say, am I able to do this?
Yeah.
And if you're able to believe in yourself and believe that you can do something, then of course you can sell yourself to anybody. And I think that's one of the things for me as a woman, one of the skills that I wanted to really hone in on and really be able to take with me is the ability to have the confidence in myself, but also articulate my value.
Yeah.
Because I was always as a young woman growing up and even in my early 30s, I used to be a people pleaser. Everything I wanted to do, I had to be doing it to please somebody else. Please my family, to please my boss, to please, you know, to please somebody else. And I had to stop myself one day and say, am I pleasing Tanya? Like, am I actually doing what I need to do for myself? And, you know, am I loving myself enough to say, this is what I need. And if I don't have this, then I can't be successful. As well, learning to ask for what I want. Yeah. So all of these things, you know, I always say there's a book called Lessons That Your Mother Never Taught You, which is about, you know, being a woman in business or a woman working in an organization, and you're trying to navigate, you know, all the barriers that no one ever tells you about because our mothers have never really knew how to navigate this.
Yeah. And they weren't subjected to it at that time.
They weren't subjected to it. And you're kind of put out there. And you're like, how do I navigate this stuff? Because there's no handbook for this.
Yes.
So what, you know, learning to really balance, you know, what are the things that I need personally in life? How do I bring those things together is something that, you know, I still struggle with today, but I've come a long way in being able to do that.
Excellent.
The other reason why I wanted to leave corporate as well is that I said to myself, I need control over my own time. And being able to have control, and I laugh all the time because sometimes I'm like, Tanya, are you a little bit of a control freak? And so I feel like sometimes I can be, but I just hate the fact that somebody's telling me that I can't do something or I have to do it in a certain time. And, you know, there's certain things that I personally want in life. So, you know, I want to start a family soon and I want to be able to have time to do the things that I want to do when I want to do it.
Right.
And one of the things that, you know, it's always said, and I never really believe it, is that you can't have everything that you want at one time. And I'm one of those people that think, well, why can't you? So, and I think that, you know, you can be a mother, you can be a wife, you can be all these things and you still can be yourself. Yeah. And still love doing the things you do and still be able to do the things that you do. But a lot of times I find in society or even in our environment, we're told, well, if you want this, you can't have this.
Yeah.
Or if you want that, you can't have that. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why can't you have it all? But just find a way to fit it in that works for you. Because
yes,
everybody has a different need, but finding that thing that works for you and then being okay with it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times it goes back to, what are other people going to think about what I'm doing?
Yes, yes.
And, you know, wanting to move away and really having the confidence to just get away from that is, it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of soul searching for you to get to that point and be completely comfortable in your skin.
Fantastic. You give me so much material there. So much material there. So, you know, and I'm trying to remember all the things I was thinking. So a couple of things for me. Why was it so important for you not to be pigeonholed, as you said early on? Why was it so
important? For me, it was really important for me personally not to be pigeonholed because I said I always have to have options in life.
Right.
I never wanted to feel like I had to do work that I did not love or do something that I felt I had to do because I had no other options.
Yeah.
For me, being able to make sure that I had experiences in different things, still honing in on the skills that I have and the skills that I'm really good at, but being able to do them in different capacities was really important to me because I ever want to feel like I didn't have a choice.
Yes.
And for me, and I think that's where the whole control thing comes in as well, I want to know that I have control over what I can do and when I want to do it.
Excellent.
So I don't want somebody to tell me, well, you have to do this job because that's the only thing that you can do.
Yeah.
I wanted to always make sure that I had an option to do something different.
Yeah.
And also to give myself, I'm one of those people that loves to learn. And I always say, when you stop learning, you might as well just be done.
Right.
Always putting yourself out there to do something different, to learn something new, because this is how we grow as people, but this is how we grow also in our businesses or we grow in our personal lives when we try something new. Because for me, I'm going to be very honest, change can be really hard.
Yes.
And, you know, and it's harder when somebody else is pushing the change on you and you're not ready for it.
Yeah.
But when you're constantly, you know, educating yourself or constantly giving yourself different things to do and to learn.
Right.
It actually, you know, personally, you just have this self-gratification that, you know, I'm growing as a person and I'm going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. And you spoke about people pleasing, and as women, I think it's one of the things, it's a big thing, that a lot of women, I suppose, fall victim to. So, and you know, because we almost lose our identity sometimes becoming a wife, a mother, an employee, a boss, an exec. So for our listeners, how do you, what tips would you give for women to kind of break the people pleasing, you know, people pleasing syndrome, for want of a better word?
Well, for me, one of the things I really had to do in regards to breaking the people pleasing is really stop myself and say, what do I want? I spend an hour a day. So 1 hour, that's just for me, just for Tanya.
Yes.
And I find it's really important for a woman to have your own time.
Very much.
Even if it's an hour, some part of the day has to be just for you.
Yeah.
And what that has helped me do and helped me in the past with, especially when it comes to people pleasing, is sitting back and reflecting on, am I getting what I want? Yeah. Am I doing these things because I want to? And really setting boundaries. Because one of the things that was hard for me with people pleasing, especially when it came to my family, was setting boundaries.
Right.
Like, when I say yes to doing something, do I really want to do it? Or am I just doing it to please somebody else? So really understanding that, okay, I'm saying yes to this, but what is my criteria to saying yes to this?
Yeah.
So setting those boundaries and knowing what your boundaries are, knowing, you know, when you have the criteria where you want to do something, why are you doing it? Really understanding why you're doing it and what are you going to get out of it?
Yes.
Because a lot of the times we do things and then we blame people saying, well, this person made me do this. And it's like, no, you chose to do this, but what were you getting out of it while you chose to do this?
Yeah.
So really understanding what your criteria is.
Yeah.
But I can't stress that enough, that having that time for yourself, even I call it my love on me time where I spend this time, even if I'm doing nothing, if I'm just wanting to file my nails for an hour in the corner, that's just my time that nobody bugs me. I get to be in my own space. I get to re-energize, regroup, but that's just for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I can probably hear women screaming, you know, I'm a parent, I'm this, I'm that.
Yes.
You know, but I have been a parent with a very demanding job, and I have always been a big component. I call it me time.
Yes.
And I always used to say to my boys, like, if I don't do this, one of us would be dead and it wouldn't be me. You know?
Yes.
So for any parents listening out there, for any women listening out there thinking, I can't possibly give myself some time, it doesn't necessarily have to be an hour. It could be 30 minutes. It could be 30 minutes before the kids wake up. Set your alarm a little earlier. Go for a walk. Do something, but take that time. Even if you're at work and it's your lunch hour. I know for me, what I used to do was run around doing all the errands in the lunch hour. You know, who can I book? What doctor? What shopping? What could I do? You know, and just take maybe one of those, half an hour, 15 minutes lunchtime, to find a quiet place on a bench, maybe, if you're fortunate to live in a nice sunny country where it's good weather. Grab a coffee. Just take some time to yourself. As Tanya said, it's so important. And I'll say this again. It's self-care. And self-care isn't selfish. It's self-preservation.
Yes, you know? I absolutely agree with that.
And it's incredibly important. Now, Tanya, you talked about confidence and having confidence.
Yes.
And I can see you've probably built up your confidence reserves over the years. But has there been a time where you've faced a challenge and things have just gone wrong and it has really knocked your confidence? How do you rebound from that?
Oh, yeah. There's plenty of times where I've been into situations where my confidence has just been shaken, whether it's, you know, a client that I've gone out to, that I've been working with, trying to get them on board to working with me, or even when I used to work in corporate and I was thinking about applying to that role and I didn't feel like I was confident enough to actually apply because I didn't have X, Y, and Z. One of the things that I, you know, have learned and still learning over the years with when it comes to confidence is everybody gets knocked down, but it's what foundation have you built for yourself to build yourself back up to know that, okay, you know what, this didn't work so well. I didn't do so great in this, but what am I going to do next? How am I going to come up from this?
Yeah.
Because people that walk around saying, oh yeah, I'm confident all the time. No one is ever 100% confident all the time. So, and if they say they are, they're fooling themselves.
Yeah.
So, and this is where having, you know, really knowing yourself and having that time to really know yourself helps to build your confidence.
Yes.
And when you are also have a certain, when you have a circle of people that you can go to when you're, you know, you get into those situations where you get knocked down, to, you know, be with them so they can help to build you back up. I have a group of, and actually Janice is one of those people. When you have a circle of people that you know you can bounce things off of, or you need some recharging because you're just feeling down, you know, but after being knocked off about something, being able to go to that circle to recharge is important.
Yeah.
I always say to people, if you don't have a network of people that you can go to, kind of like your sounding board to share things with, it becomes really tough, and you can end up staying in a rut for a long time when you don't need to.
Yeah.
And you know, as a Black woman and as a Caribbean Black woman, one of the things that I grew up with is that you don't talk to people, you don't tell people your business, you don't do. And for me, that is one of the things I think hinders us the most.
Yeah.
That is actually an activity or an item that I had to unlearn for myself to actually move into being more confident.
Right.
It's there's nothing wrong with being able to be real and share with people that you trust, but you have to, and this is where you don't just go telling everybody everything. It's people, you actually have to have a relationship and trust those people to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And but you do need that. You have to have that to be to really help you.
Totally agree with you. Totally agree. Having, like you said, that strong network of like-minded individuals, someone who doesn't mind if, you know, you get a bit snotty with them sometimes.
Exactly.
That shoulder to cry on, who can just empathize with you and just help you through. And you may not always agree with them. That's not the point. It's about being able to have that dialogue. And sometimes I call them friend tours. They're kind of like your enemies. You may think they're enemies, but actually they've got some really valuable information and tell you the things you don't want to hear. They act as your mentor, but they tell you, they keep you in check.
Yeah, and you need to have those people, because if you're with people that are telling you what you want to hear all the time, you're not growing as a person, and they're also not helping you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need to get that feedback that is... it's going to be tough feedback, but it's feedback that you decide whether what pieces you want to take from it to move on.
Yeah. So Tanya, moving on, if you could go back and change one thing, what would it be and why?
If I could go back and change one thing, I don't know if I would change anything, to be honest, Janice. I don't know that I would change anything. I feel that everything that I've been through, highs and lows in life, have really built my character to help me be who I am today. I am a strong believer that even when you go through those low points and those struggles, they actually are shaping your character to be something or to be different.
Okay.
So when I think back to even my most horrible times in life and in work, I can't say I would change anything, because I think every one of those situations taught me something about myself, but also helped me become who I am today.
Excellent. So share with us a success quote or a mantra that you use and why it's meaningful for you.
A success quote or a mantra. Well, I don't know if I would call it a success quote, but it's a quote that my grandmother always used to say to me. And I still carry this quote today. When you know where you came from, you'll never have trouble know where you're going. And basically, when you know your roots, you can pull back to your roots when you need to, it will help you go where you need to go.
Nice.
So for me, that's something that my grandmother used to always tell us when we were like young.
Yeah.
And even growing up, you know, as an adult, I still go back to that saying that she used to always say to us, because I find that it's so true in life. When you know where you come from, you know where you're going. It's and also trusting your gut.
Yeah.
Trusting your gut when something doesn't feel right for you, or you start questioning things, listen to yourself.
Yes.
Nobody knows you the way that you know you.
Yeah.
You're the expert of yourself. Trust yourself to guide you.
Excellent. So Tanya, you talked about the importance of education. You also mentioned a book, some books. But yes, what's been a book that's influenced you throughout your career journey? And what's been your learning from it?
What book? Oh, so there's a book called The Velvet Hammer. And it's about, basically it's a book for women on navigating the, I would say, roadblocks of being in a man's world. Because even if we, though there's, you know, we're, the world's becoming more women, and there's, you know, we're, a lot of the populations have more women, we still are organized by men.
Yes.
So what the key things in that book that really tells you, that I really gravitate to, is as a woman, we feel that we need to be more inhabit more male behaviors to be successful in life or in business. The thing that I really loved about that book is that you don't have to. You can be yourself.
Yeah.
And though you can still be a strong leader or, you know, a strong woman and be successful being yourself. Yeah. And a lot of the things that we bring to the table as women, we take for granted, or we don't think that they're special. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I always look at, I said, if, you know, if there were more female leaders in the world, we would not have a lot of the troubles that we have, because our way of thinking and our way of building relationships and thinking and working with people is what we need to be able to be, to navigate and be successful.
Yeah. This is probably a big question, loaded question. And it's probably too big a topic for this interview. But what are the tips you think you can give to women who are just stepping into leadership and feel that they're going to lose part of themselves? I know it's a struggle I had when I moved into executive role. And one of the things that stopped me going forward was that I didn't feel I could be myself, because the role models I had before me were male. And I was like, well, you know, if that's what you want me to be, I can't do that, because that's not naturally who I am. And my boss, who was actually male, said to me, make the role your own. And it was like a release.
Yes.
It's like, oh my gosh, I can do this as me. So
what
would you give, you work with these women, what couple of tips could you give women who are maybe just venturing into the leadership realm?
I would say, for one, always be yourself, be authentic, find a mentor, find someone who is a few steps of where you want to be, and that you consider to be a strong leader.
Know
what the characteristics of and the behaviors of this person is, and make sure they align to where you want to be and where you want to go, and make sure that you get in contact with them to have a network or a mentorship. The other thing I would say is just believe and trust in yourself.
I think
a lot of times we're trying to be somebody else, or we're trying to, you know, work ourselves into something that we're not.
Just
being ourselves is enough. Excellent. And knowing that we are enough will really help us.
Fantastic. You touched on mentors there. So
yes,
if you could choose your own mentor, who would it be and why?
If I could choose my own mentor, I actually would choose, there would be three. Three. Two females and a male. So there would be Oprah, Michelle Obama.
You have no idea how popular Oprah tops Michelle right now. But 90% of the time, it's Oprah. But carry on.
Yes. It would be Oprah, Michelle Obama, and Barack Obama would be my three.
Yeah.
They would merge together. The reason why, when it comes to being able to connect and build relationships, I think, and also speak, I think Obama is, hands down, would be a person I would love to have as a mentor. Right. When it comes to being strong, independent, authentic, and being able to really stand their ground in what they believe in, I would say Oprah and Michelle would be those key people that would bring that for me.
Excellent, excellent, excellent. And morph them together, that'd be a phenomenal human.
Yeah, oh yes.
Phenomenal human. So Tanya, what advice would you give to your teenage self?
The advice I would give to my teenage self is that, you know what, don't sweat this.
Yeah.
This is only for a period of time. When I go back and I think of myself as a teenager and all the struggles that I had with confidence and being very shy, those things don't even matter. Like when I think about how I felt then and how I am now, it's like that's a spot in your life.
Yes.
Just a speck, and it doesn't define who you can be.
Yeah.
Like that period of time doesn't define who you will be or who you can be.
Yeah. You have such angst as a teenager, don't you?
Yeah.
And there's so much pressure, I think, put on teenagers that time to make decisions for their life, future self. And it's like,
yes.
I don't even know myself properly there.
Yeah. And the other thing too, there's nothing wrong with changing your mind.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of times when I was a teenager, it's like, well, I have to do this because this is the only thing. If I change my mind, then what will happen?
Yeah.
If you change your mind, what happens? I think being able to be flexible, and if I knew that then, you know, the ability to be flexible and go with the flow really makes life so much calming.
Yeah.
So if you're working through something, you're starting something and it's not going the way that you want, you can always switch paths. As long as you know where you want to go, you can always take a different path to get there.
Excellent.
There's no one road.
Yeah, definitely. It's not A to B. It could be A, C, D, E, G, everything, S, T, to get to where you want to get to.
Absolutely.
So I totally agree with you. So Tanya, what are the three things you've learned about yourself during your career?
Three things I've learned about myself. So one, that I'm really good at building relationships and I really love people. Two, that sometimes what's on the surface is not what's really there. So really navigating, what I learned that I'm really good at navigating, what do I like to call it? I call it the workplace Game of Thrones, if anyone knows what the show Game of Thrones is. It's like being able to navigate BS.
Yes.
Is something that I've learned.
Yeah.
For me, I've learned that I'm really good at doing that, and I'm really good at that identifying it,
right,
like right away. So I feel that the older you get, the sharper your BS detector gets.
Yeah.
Is what I call it.
Yes. Not that you can put down an application form, but we know what you mean.
Exactly. And then the third thing I would say that I learned about myself is that I'm much stronger than I would believe that I was before.
Right.
So before I would be like, oh, you know, I don't have enough confidence, this and that. But I learned that I had the capacity for that.
Yeah.
So, and there's so much more in me that I haven't even tapped into yet. That's just waiting to get pulled
excellent.
Out.
Excellent. Excellent. So what would you say your imperfections and how do you embrace them?
So my imperfections. So I would say that I like to say attention deficit. When it comes to, you know, focusing on one thing, because I have this creative spirit, there's so many things that I love. So I love shiny objects,
yeah,
shiny light bulbs. So that would be one of my imperfections.
Right.
And you know what? I find that as I'm getting older, I spend less time on the things that I'm not good at.
Yeah.
If I'm not good at it, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to find somebody that is good at it.
Yep.
And get them to do it because that's not my strength.
Yeah.
So why am I spending and wasting time and energy doing something that is not my strength?
Yeah.
I'd rather put my time and energy into my strengths.
Yeah.
So that would be one thing.
Yeah.
The other thing, the second thing that I would say is an opportunity for me is, what would be a second opportunity for me? I would say maybe talking less when it comes to things. Like sometimes my friends will ask me my opinion on something and I'll just talk them away and not even like gather, okay, what did you want to say for me to help you on this?
Right.
So being able to do that when it comes to my friends. So those are what I say are my two opportunities. And as well, my third one would be if you give me anything admin to do, like paperwork, I'm a creative person. I like to be out there. I like to get my hands dirty in things, but don't ask me to sit behind a desk and type,
Funny.
You know, long reports because yeah. you just, Kill me on the spot.
And I had the same conversation yesterday, another interview, about playing to your strengths.
Yes.
You know, sometimes we can spend an inordinate amount of time beating ourselves up because we can't do something when actually it's not naturally our strength. So
yeah,
take a few dollars, get someone else to do it, and focus on what you're good at, because the dividends are far higher than what you'll pay out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, so absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And sometimes I need to actually listen to that myself. You know.
Yeah. a book. Even anyone that's looking to either identify or think about their strengths, there's that book Strength Finders.
Yeah.
That has a little assessment that you can do. But for me, for years I was spending my time on, okay, so I got to do this better because I'm not good at this. And then it got to a point like 5 years ago, I said, why are you spending your time on this, Tanya? Yeah. This, like, you're never going to be good at this.
Yeah.
You'd rather be doing this, and you actually love doing this and you have fun. Do this.
Excellent. Excellent. So Tanya, coming down to our final questions now, what's your definition of success?
To me, my definition of success is being able to be myself, being able to have options to do the things that I want to do, when I want to do them, how I want to do them. To me, that is success. As well, having time to spend on the things that I want to do is my option, is my idea of success. Fantastic. So it's not about having a certain amount of money or a certain house or whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm able to do the things that I want to do in life, the way I want to do them, that's success to me.
Do you think that definition has changed as you've matured?
It has. Because before, if you asked me in my early part of my career what I thought success was, it was driving a certain car by a certain time, having a certain size house, having a certain circle of friends. And to me, that has all changed.
Yes.
And I find that, you know, what I want from success, or how I define success, more aligns with the values of who I am as a person and how I want to be in life.
Yeah. And I think if we align success with our values, then we're less likely to be disappointed.
Absolutely.
Than having material,
absolutely.
Material success indicators.
Yeah.
So last question, Tanya, what does it mean to you to be your own hero?
What it means for me to be my own hero. How do I put it into words? Because it's such a strong statement. Because to me, it means that there's so much that I have to offer myself.
Yeah.
And to offer others, that it's just, I don't know. I can't even put it into words. Like there's a feeling that I have that just is running through me, that it means power.
Yes.
It means power. That's the word, power.
Right. Right. Fantastic. Great. So that was my last question, as I said, Tanya, or maybe one penultimate question. And the last question is, if people want to get hold of you or connect with you, how can they do that?
If anyone's looking to get a hold of me, you can reach me at tanya@tanyasmithintl.com. You can also visit my website, tanyasmithinternational.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, as well as Twitter. So there's lots of places to find me.
Fantastic. And I will be sure to put the put the links in the show notes.
Sure.
So Tanya, thank you so much for your time this morning. It's, as ever, it's always delightful having a conversation with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Janice. It was great. A blast as always.
Thanks. Hi, that was real fun with Tanya there. I hope you enjoyed it. She had some real poignant piece, I think, to take away from there. The things that stood out for me is that realizing that if you can do it for somebody else, if you put yourself out to do things for somebody, then you can actually do it for yourself, because too many times we stop ourselves from going forward. And the other thing that stood out was before she moved to entrepreneurial journey, she was so concerned about what others would think. Now, I call this the holding out waiting, where we spend so much time thinking about how would somebody react? How would somebody feel? How am I going to cope? How am I going to do something? That we actually paralyze ourselves from actually doing anything at all. So yeah, so that was quite good to see that in action, that she just kind of was cognizant of that and moved forward. And then the other thing she talked about was finding out what works for you and are you okay with it? You know, she was such a people pleaser that she found herself doing things for everybody else, even when it made her miserable. So it was about finding the things and saying to herself, where's my boundaries? What am I prepared to do and what am I not prepared to do? And am I okay with doing it? So fantastic information, fantastic advice there. And as ever, the big thing for me is always be yourself. And that believe and trust in who you are and the authenticity. So those are the real key takeaways from me, from Tanya. So it was a great conversation. So all that remains for me to say is, as ever, is thank you for listening to this week's edition of Phenomenal Woman. Keep rating, subscribing and sharing on iTunes as you do. And until next week, I ask you to be bold, be fearless, be phenomenal and be you. Follow me on Facebook. I am Janice Sutherland, or visit my website, janicesutherland.com. Until next week, take care.